Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth
has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples
of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them
to obey everything I have commanded you.
And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age."
Welcome to Exploring Missions, connecting mission needs with those equipped by God to meet those needs across the world or across town. And now, the host of Exploring Missions, Bert Harper.
It is encouraging when I'm somewhere in a store, at a church, and someone stops and says, "Really, I enjoy Exploring Missions." And most of the time, they have a specific program that they were bragging on and saying how it helped them. Recently, I was with someone and they were telling me how much it helped because they were involved in a situation where they needed to know exactly what Nathan and I were covering. And we pray that would be a case with many of you today, that right where you are, God has a message for you, and that message is a good message of ministry, of hope, and even deliverance. Well, Nathan, today we have a great interview with someone that's been with us, and usually, be honest, we have Todd Nettleton on just about every year, but it's always good to have him on because he's talking about what's going on around the world concerning persecution.
Yeah, that's right. We want, as believers, to be aware of what is happening in the world around us, current events, global events, but specifically with the church and with our brothers and sisters in Christ, especially when it relates to persecution. So we will know how to pray, like specifically how we should pray. We can also see where there is persecution, you can map it. That's where God is working. You know, if there was not persecution, then God's activity, God's working everywhere, but very pinpointed, maybe powerful work that God is doing in a moment, you can kind of trace it where persecution is. And that means there's a witness going out. It means there's spiritual warfare, that the enemy is trying to stop that witness. So we need to be aware of that, and we need to be praying. So it's good to have Todd back on regular occasion so we'll know how to pray.
Yeah, and he's got, and I'll just brag on him, he's got such a great spirit. We enjoy being with him and sharing with him. And again, just a great, great ministry. And what we wanted to talk about in the introduction to the interview that we did with Todd, Nathan, Paul is used of God even in prison, even in persecution. He is used of God, drug out of town several times after being beaten, and he would be raised up. Some of those sound like he was close to death, if not death, that he was raised up. But I want to talk about specifically when he was in prison. The first time he was in a Roman prison, I know that he wrote Ephesians, Colossians, and Philemon. He didn't waste imprisonment. I mean, yeah. He was there. The second time he was there in Rome, we know he said, "Only Luke is with me," but he would write 2 Timothy in that imprisonment.
And God, Philippians was in there somewhere, right?
Yeah, we know it was. And so God did it. And again, reason I wanted to bring this up, right now in our country, there's anti-Semitic demonstrations going on. And honestly, the way we as believers love the Jewish nation and the Jewish people, it's not too far from persecution here. And so the reason I wanted to share that is so that we will know, as you said, two things. God is active, or there would be no persecution. And secondly, God will use that ultimate for his glory.
Yeah. Yeah. Right now, imprisonment is one of the key tools for persecutors. That's a kind of obvious one of the first steps that whether a government or a local group will carry out to imprison, to put away, incarcerate Christian leaders, vocal witnesses of the gospel in a place where they just want to keep them quiet. And there's a limit to that because most of the time anyway, there's a limit to that because, you know, you can only have false charges and imprison someone for a, a certain period of time. Sometimes even the courts are involved, and that can be an extended period of time of imprisonment. But even right now, currently today, there are many, thousands and thousands of men and women who are followers of Jesus, who are faithful to proclaim the gospel, and they have been imprisoned for that reason. And obviously, we need to pray for them, but we also need to understand God uses that imprisonment for their benefit. And I'm not neglecting the fact that it's harsh, extremely difficult. Most of the time, there's beatings and possibly torture that goes along with that imprisonment. Very, very harsh conditions. And God uses that, though, to grow Christ's character in their hearts, in their lives, some even greater maturity. But also, from prison, God can use their witness among other prisoners and even guards and officials, and the gospel can spread from a prison cell. And so there's a lot of believers, if you go to China and you talk to maybe more mature, older, experienced church leaders, underground church leaders and gospel workers that are in China, most of them have been imprisoned at least three different times, maybe multiple years for each time. They consider it their seminary, actually. Wow. And it's kind of a training ground for a lot of believers.
On the other program that I have the privilege of co-hosting with Alex McFarland, Exploring the Word, we get letters quite often from prisoners that are there, and God has changed their life. God has made them able ministries there. Alex has been able to speak. I have and will. I look forward to these. These are some of the biggest supporters in prayer that we have at AFR are those that are incarcerated. And I just want to tell you, those that are listening, you are a blessing. And God is using you in that imprisonment. But I want to talk about one particular individual that's not in the Bible, but he is a spiritual giant in church history, John Bunyan. He was imprisoned several times. And out of that imprisonment comes one of the greatest stories that's ever been written. It's called Pilgrim's Progress. Now, back when I was in school, guess what? It was required reading, Nathan. And I know it wasn't in your day, but it was required reading that we read Pilgrim's Progress. And it talks about this pilgrim as he makes his journey through the Christian life and all the obstacles they meet. And in prison, John Bunyan would write that, and in a way, it was a biography of struggles that he had and was going through. And so I really believe God used the imprisonment in order for him to write that great, great book, Pilgrim's Progress.
Yeah, that book has been an encouragement to many, many followers of Jesus around the world through the years. I did not get to read it until I was an adult, but I have read it to all three of my children at this point in their lives, and it makes good bedtime stories too.
Yeah. Hey, so we're suggesting that as parents, grandparents, Pilgrim's Progress for your children, and it is a great, great resource. And most of us can identify with the obstacles that comes in our way. And writers like that, like C.S. Lewis, John Bunyan, that has a visualization of the Christian life.
And well, C.S. Lewis, he wasn't imprisoned for his faith, but he was part of World War I, and a lot of his stories and even part of him coming to know the Lord was through that struggle, suffering of going through war. Tolkien, another writer, Christian writer, who wrote based a lot of his experiences based on World War I. So any kind of suffering, struggle, hardship, God uses that in our lives. And so we see, many of the letters in the New Testament written by Paul from prison, and they all relate to Christians going through suffering. They encourage us as we go through that. Maybe we don't have to go through prison or even war, possibly, but we do have struggles. And it's encouragement, and it's also a real part of life, and following Jesus is that struggle.
Some of the individuals that we've been able to communicate with concerning their imprisonment, They said, we found freedom in our imprisonment. And a lot of people who are free far as not being imprisoned, they are imprisoned in their sin, in their addiction, in their life. And so we're saying God wants to set you free and God wants to use you. So those of you that are going through struggles and difficulties, Nathan, I think we could say God will not waste it.
Yeah.
God puts us in situations which brings about suffering, which brings about strategies of God to be glorified.
Mm.
When you read Paul and he talks about being in he says it in a beautiful way, horribly beautiful. I know that's a contradiction in words, but in my chains. But in those chains was freedom. And so today, here, we want you to listen to this interview. Todd Nettleton, I think it will be one that will encourage you. And get a pen and paper out and write down the countries that he's going to share with us concerning those that are suffering of greatest consequences. And Nathan, when we do that, it's not the persecuted church, it's the whole body of Christ, and we help one another.
Right. So whether you have or will experience any sort of persecution or imprisonment, or whether it's just the struggles and hardships of life, I'm looking here at 2 Timothy chapter 4. This is Paul writing to Timothy at the end of his life and ministry. This is verses 6 and 7. For I'm already being poured out as a drink offering, and at the time of my departure is close. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. And he talks about the future. There's a glory awaiting for him because he'll appear before the righteous judge, who is Jesus, and looking forward to his appearing. But right before this, he encourages Timothy, who is in freedom in the moment. Timothy is experiencing freedom to share the gospel, to witness, to do the work of ministry. And he says, as for you, keep a clear head about everything, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. And that's our call today.
Listen to this interview, and may you continue in the Lord's work. Exploring Missions is always an exciting interview to people that is involved in what's going on in the world. If we're not careful, I've used this terminology a lot, we'll have tunnel vision for just where we live. Years ago, I had the mentor pastor that I had, Dr. Bobby Moore. He prayed, God, give Bert a vision of the world. That took a while. Then it took my co-host of this program, Nathan Harper, my son, to maybe bring that a little bit in focus. So now I'm able to be a part of a program here on American Family Radio, Exploring Missions. With that in mind, we're going to talk about parts of the world today that are suffering, that is difficult. Our guest is Todd Nettleton from Voice of the Martyrs. Todd, you've been with us on Exploring the Word. You've been with us one time before on Exploring Missions, and you're one of those guys I always welcome back.
Well, thank you so much. I'm looking forward to our conversation. It's, you know, interesting because the places where the Voice of the Martyrs works typically are places you can't send missionaries, at least you can't call them missionaries. So it's an interesting topic for Exploring Missions. Missions may be under the radar, missions may be by local people or near culture people, but nevertheless, sharing the gospel is missions.
Amen. And a part of missions is praying and giving. Now, I just want to share with you, those of you that are part of a church that has involved in international missions, praise the Lord. Some of you may do it as a denomination. Others may do it individually. But I want to tell you how important it is for your church to be involved and not to keep most of it, but give as much as you can, forward it on to missions. I'm afraid we keep more than 90% more of the time. And when we could keep those chairs a little longer, we might could let a few things not be painted as quickly as they should, and spend that money to somewhere that is needing the money to share Christ with the world. And that's my promotion for it, but also praying. And Voice of the Martyrs, let me just share with you, this is one of the areas that I believe with all my heart, Voice of the Martyrs, Todd, has such an influence. I know people that get the magazine, that look at the website and the calendar, and that's part of their prayers. Yep. Every day.
Yep. And they listen to Voice of the Martyrs Radio right here.
They do that.
And they pray.
I thought that was a given. No.
Well, I hope it is.
Yeah,
but, you know, one of the questions I ask at the end of almost every interview on Voice of the Martyrs Radio is, okay, how can we pray?
Yeah.
If my guest is from Pakistan, okay, how can we pray for Pakistan? If my guest is from Iran, how can we pray for Iran? So we always want to equip listeners to pray. And it is such a key thing. And you mentioned missionaries, and our church supports missionaries. I know your church does as well. I have had missionaries on over the years that talk about the difficulties that they face, especially first term. And I think of they're trying to learn a language. They're trying to learn the culture. They're trying to figure out how to get their kids educated, where to go to the store and buy groceries. All those things are just challenges that they face. And so many missionaries don't get to term two because term one burns them out and they don't want to go through it again. So I would echo what you said. Pray, pray, pray for the people that you know. Maybe find people you don't even know and pray for them. Pray by name. Pray for them as they serve. We need more missionaries to get to term two and term three and term four, because really, and we just had a conversation about this on Voice of Martyrs Radio. The sweet spot of ministry is typically not in term one when you're still trying to figure your way around and learn the language. The really sweet spot of effective ministry is like 7-8 years down the road when you really kind of understand what's going on and you feel comfortable in the culture. But if you only serve one term, you never get to that sweet spot. And so I just echo what you said and pray, pray, pray for our missionaries.
Their families are so important. I know what it is as a pastor in the family that they're under a microscope, they're looked at and everything. But missionary kids, wow, what? And I was a missionary kid.
So.
Where did your parents serve?
When I was 12 years old, we moved to Papua New Guinea. Moved from Southern California to Papua New Guinea, and it was a challenging move for me personally.
How were you then?
I was 12.
But you can still remember that.
I remember. And then when I was 16, we moved back to Southern California for me to finish high school, and that was hard too.
Yeah.
Because we moved back to the same house. I went to school with some of the same kids, and I had, through the 4 years of our time in Papua New Guinea, I always had this idea, well, I have friends back in California. As soon as we get back, I have friends in California. Well, you know, 4 years in the life of a 16-year-old is a long time. And it was hard when we got back and I was like, wait a minute, I have to start over. Like, I have to start from scratch here. I'm going to be honest, it was pretty devastating. Yeah. That first year back was really hard for me. But interestingly, a lot of the seeds that were planted in my life through that experience of moving to Papua New Guinea, they're now bearing fruit in what I do at Voice of the Martyrs. So the Lord clearly had a plan in all of that. But at the time, I would have told you, Lord, I don't like your plan because I'm not having any fun here.
He didn't say it'd be easy.
He did not say it'd be easy, and it wasn't easy.
Yeah, I think he said something about expect it, you know, in this world. Well, listen, I wanted to hear that. I had not heard that, so I'm glad we went there. But one reason I wanted you on, one of the things that always looks at me is Christians who are being persecuted. People, some kind, call it the persecuted church. Well, it's not a separate entity. It's the same part. We're part of the same body, and part of the body is hurting tremendously. And I want to go over some spots that you have that you would love, and I'm going to do it like you do, that we need to pray for.
Yep.
And, you know, where would you start? What country or what area or what people group?
Let's start with India, because India is changing and has changed. And even the way we at Voice of the Martyrs talk about India has changed because of the changes for Christians on the ground there. We now classify India as a restricted nation, which means the driving force of persecution is the government of the country. We used to call it a hostile area because, you know, the Constitution says you have religious freedom, and for a time the government at least tried to protect religious freedom. That's no longer the case under Prime Minister Modi. The government is the driving force of the persecution, and it is through a Hindu nationalist ideology, they call it Hindutva, that every Indian should be a Hindu. And if you're not a Hindu, you really don't belong there. And so Muslims, you're not welcome. Christians, you're not welcome. And that is now filtering down into every layer of society and every part of the country. And we see more pastors being arrested. We see anti-conversion laws being passed by different states. Some of the anti-conversion laws are just farcical. The way it's one of them, one state has a law that if you want to talk to someone about changing their religion, which we would say if you want to share the gospel with someone, you need to go to the magistrate 6 months before you have that conversation and register the fact. So, you know, I want to talk to my neighbor about Jesus in August. I need to go now and go to a magistrate and say, hey, in August, I'm going to talk to my neighbor about following Jesus. Well, who's going to do that? No one's ever going to do that. So then when you have that conversation and they find out, oh, you talked to your neighbor, oh, that's a crime. You didn't talk to the magistrate. You didn't register the conversation ahead of time. That's the kind of laws that are being set up. And then you can understand how Christians get arrested because nobody can follow that law. And so then it's like, well, you broke the law. You're going to jail. That's the kind of thing that we see happening in India right now.
Well, I have some friends that are missionaries there in India right now, and they were visited this week, the week we're recording this, and they had government officials wanting to come to them and asking them. They want a list of all the people that they have ministered to in the last 5 years.
It's that
severe. Now, I do not know the punishment, right, or if there be any. That's still up in the air. But this is a ministry that's been there for 30 years, taking care of children, getting them off of the streets of a, and they'd rather have the children suffering and hurting in trafficking, starving, than to have them cared for if it's by a Christian.
Right. They'd rather have them starving Hindus than well-fed Christians. It's a shocking, mind-blowing thing. The other thing, and you mentioned the ministry there, the other thing they're doing is going after the money. Like if ministries are getting outside support from outside of India, well, who's supporting you? We want to know about that. We want to track all that money. Well, that is a way that they're forcing ministries to close down as well. So
pray for India.
Pray for India. Big thing, the election, the national elections are coming up in April and May. Prime Minister Modi is running for a third term. He's been in power for 10 years. Persecution has gotten worse through that 10 years. If he gets 5 more years, the Christians are like, who knows? Who knows what will happen in the 5 years if he's back in power? I have been told by people living in India, he's going to win. Like it's a 99% chance he's going to win, unless God intervenes. And so we want to pray. We want to pray for God's will, but we want to pray especially for our brothers and sisters in India.
Okay. For time's sake, give us at least one more.
Let me give you one more.
We may have time for two, but at least one more.
Let's talk about China. So in the last 18 months, China has really changed how they are persecuting Christians. They've arrested church pastors and church leaders, but they don't charge them anymore with what they call illegal religious gatherings or using a religious organization to undermine state security. All of the charges since the beginning of 2023 have been financial charges, money laundering, illegal business practices. And so if you or I call the Chinese embassy and say, hey, why are you persecuting Christians? They'll say, we're not persecuting Christians. We're cracking down on fraud. This has nothing to do with religion. This is all about cracking down on fraud. We're just, you know, taking care of our country and punishing criminals. And so it's an interesting way for them to hide persecution behind maybe semi-legitimate charges or what would normally be legitimate charges. But the other thing about it is an unregistered church in China has no legal status. They don't exist legally. And so you can't, as an unregistered church pastor, go down to your local bank and say, hey, I want to open a checking account for my church, because they'll be like, okay, well, show us your church documents. Well, I don't have any documents. The government won't allow me to exist. Well, then you can't start a checking account. So then that pastor receives tithes and offerings and puts them in his bank account. I know of a pastor who said they split it among the deacons of their church and they each put part of it in their accounts. But the government can watch all those accounts and say, well, where'd that money come from? Oh, you're collecting money for a church that doesn't exist? Well, that's fraud. Well, no, it's not. The church does exist. It's just you won't register it. So the Chinese government continually changes their strategies and really, I would say, hones their strategies to try to crack down on the church, to try to stop the gospel from spreading. Here's the good news. The gospel keeps on spreading.
Under all conditions.
Under all conditions. I had a Chinese house church pastor on VOM Radio, and he said he challenges the people in his church, especially the men in his church. He challenges them by saying, hey, the government is watching you. make sure they see what it looks like to live a Christian life, to live a godly life. If they're going to watch, we're going to use that as an opportunity to witness to them. That's great. Make sure what they see is a godly life. And so our brothers and sisters in China, even the surveillance state, they're using that as a way to say, hey, okay, you want to watch me? Great. I'm going to show you what a Christian looks like.
Amen. I know I said one more, but I did want to report on Iran. Now, you've got a better name for Iran. And the reason I know this, yes, I've interviewed Todd before recently on Exploring the Word. And it's about 2 or 3 minutes,
yep.
But give us that.
The full name of the country of Iran is the Islamic Republic of Iran.
Now, so, who's been the best missionary?
The fastest growing church in the world is in the Islamic Republic of Iran. And it is the state. I've had Iranian Christians tell me that Ayatollah Khomeini, the founder of the Islamic Revolution, he's the greatest Christian missionary in the history of Iran. Well, why? How? How could that be? He showed the people the true face of Islam,
yes.
And they have seen it for 40 years. They've seen the corruption. They've seen the drug addiction rate in the country skyrocket. And they say, if this is what 40 years of Islam has produced, what are the other options? You know, let's look at something else, because this is clearly not working. They know Islam is not the answer, and they are seeking other options. And Jesus is ministering to them. Jesus is reaching into that. The gospel is spreading. Satellite television, internet ministries, other ministries. The gospel is absolutely spreading inside Iran.
Well, Brother Todd, I want to tell you, Voice of the Martyrs is one of those ministries that America thanks God for.
Thank you.
We have brothers and sisters around the world who are hurting beyond measure. And today you told us about India, China, Iran, where they're still suffering, but yet great things are happening following him. And again, tell us about the last book. I don't want to miss this because it was good.
Well, thank you.
And tell folks where they can get it.
When Faith is Forbidden is the title of my book, 40 Days on the Front Lines with Persecuted Christians. So this is 40 stories from persecuted Christians that I've met over the last 25 years. It is available at the VOM website, persecution.com. It's an easy one to remember, persecution.com. In fact, you can actually request a free copy of the book, and Voice of the Martyrs will send it to you.
Todd, thank you again for
being
here.
My pleasure.
And thank you for listening to Exploring Missions here on AFR.